Paul Meacham, Jr.
A tombstone was found in ancient Greece with the following words, Zosimi, a slave in body alone, has found freedom. Nothing else is known of this man, to the very best of my knowledge, yet by knowing the way that he was buried, we have an idea of the way that he lived. This man, though taken into slavery, lived a life that was free. While his body and his time might have belonged to another, this man's soul and his heart were always his own. They were always free. We know this because of the way that he was buried. What does the burial of Jesus tell us about the way that he lived? What does the burial of Jesus tell us about what he expected to find on the other side of death? We know that Zosimi expected freedom. What did our Lord expect? And what can we learn from the burial of Christ? That's our topic today. We thank all of you for joining us today. We are so delighted that you've taken this opportunity to study God's Word together with us. God has given us a tremendous blessing in giving us His Word, in telling us what the truth really is. For mankind oftentimes misleads us with a lie, but God has always provided for His people the truth. That has been provided for us in the form of the Bible. We're glad that you've taken this time out of your busy schedule to study with us, and let's turn our attention now to that study. Oftentimes we talk about the death of Christ, but it's rare that we talk about the burial of Christ, the actual act of placing Him in the tomb. That there is much that we can learn about Jesus, about God and God's plan for man's redemption, based on the way that Jesus was buried. We notice, first of all, in our study, that the burial of Christ was a fulfillment of prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9, it says, "And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." This tells us that something unusual occurred regarding the burial of Christ. They made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Now, this is not saying that the wicked and the rich are the same group of people, but rather it's showing a distinction. The word "but" there shows there was something that was intended, but it didn't happen that way. This word that they made his grave with the wicked is probably better translated in the English as they assigned him his grave with the wicked, or they appointed his grave among the wicked. And such was certainly done. In John chapter 19 and verse 31 we read, "Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away." The "they" that the Jews were referring to is Jesus and the two thieves that were crucified with him. At this point, Jesus is dead. At this point, they feel as though they have defeated Jesus, and they are now considering him in the same light as these criminals, that something must be done about their bodies. They want the legs to be broken. It was evidently their intent that by breaking the legs, death would follow within a very few minutes, and then all of them could be carried away and buried. This would have been a criminal's burial. This would have been a grave assigned with the wicked. This would have been a grave without honor. As it turns out, however, Jesus was not buried with these criminals, but rather he was buried in the tomb of a rich man. Now we notice that the rich and the wicked were not said to be the same there in Isaiah 53, but rather a distinction was shown. The wicked is a reference to the criminals who were crucified with him, the fact that they would be taken and their bodies probably thrown into a common grave. But rather the rich now is represented by Joseph of Arimathea. For we find the Bible introduces this man to us as one who had a new tomb, a rich man that had a tomb no body had ever been placed in. And this is the burial place that has been set aside by God for our Lord. Why is it that God provided such an honorable burial place for his son? It was because he had done no violence. There was no deceit in his mouth. Isaiah 53:9. Jesus had atoned for man's sins by dying as if he had been a criminal. But after his death, he is now going to be honored by a dignified, if hurried, burial. The burial of Jesus was a mark that he was a righteous man. We must remember the customs of the time. burial customs differ. Burial customs differ widely depending on where you are in the world. In some places, the burial of the body is very important. In other places, it's not considered at all. We need to remember the time that Jesus lived in, the people that Jesus lived among. This will tell us about the burial customs of those people. We find all the way back into the Old Testament times under the patriarchal period that man buried his dead. We find the great patriarch Abraham is purchasing a field in order that he might bury his dead out of his sight, this seeming to be the practice of that particular day. But there's more than we can learn. We can also learn that the burial practices sometimes indicated shame and disgrace. We find in Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 16 that the prophet there is chastising the people because of their sinfulness. He talks about the fact that those who will not listen to the prophet, or those who listen to a false prophet instead and follow him, are going to be those that are cast out in the street of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They will have no one to bury them nor their wives, their sons nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness on them. This is God's way of demonstrating to the people that they are going to come to a terrible end, that they're going to die a death of disgrace and shame if they continue to listen to the false prophets. He teaches them this lesson by telling them that they will have no one to bury them. And this to these people at this time is a mark of great shame. This is something that would be disgraceful, something that they would want to avoid. The same prophet Jeremiah in chapter 16 and verse 4 says to the unrepentant people of Jerusalem that they shall die gruesome deaths. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried. A righteous person could expect to die and have loved ones left behind who would mourn him. I'm reminded of the death of the great servant to our Lord, Dorcas, and how when Peter was there, the people who knew her brought things that she had made during her life. They brought things to Peter to show them to him so that he would understand what a good and righteous woman this was who had passed. The way they behaved regarding her death after her death indicated how she had lived. The same thing is being said to the people of Jerusalem here. If you do not turn to God, when you die, you will not be lamented. There will be no mourning for you, and you shall not be buried. But rather, you shall be like refuse, like garbage on the face of the earth. This is the exact same way that the Romans used to dispose of the bodies of criminals who had been crucified. They were simply thrown away as though they were garbage. But our Lord would not allow this shameful and disgraceful form of burial for His Son. Instead, God provides for His body a burial in the tomb of a rich man. This had a very important meaning to the people of that day. Those Jews who lived during that day treated Jesus as though He were a devil, saying that He cast out spirits by the power of Beelzebub. They treated him like he was a blasphemer, the charge that they finally brought against him when they brought him to Pilate to have him put to death. They treated him as though he were nothing. Now they finally have killed him, and our Lord will not allow him to be buried as though he is nothing. Instead, by providing for him the tomb of a rich man, He makes a public statement, a public declaration to those people, that this was my son, a righteous man, one who lived in a good and right way, one who should be mourned, who should be buried with honor. And He does provide that honorable burying place for him. Notice God did not provide this for him miraculously. He could have allowed the body to be disposed of and then removed it from where it was and placed it in the tomb of a rich man. But He didn't do so miraculously. God works in other ways than miracles. And one way God works is through His people doing the things that are right. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we may sit around and pray that another person might be benefited or blessed, yet we don't actually do anything to help that person. God in this time provided an honorable and good burial place for his son, but he did not do so miraculously, rather he did so through the agency of man. We need to consider the fact that when an opportunity to do good is placed before us, that we could be the tool of God. We could be the agent of God to do good here on this earth when that opportunity is placed before us. God, by providentially providing this burial place, shows the Jews that they were wrong in killing the Christ, that they had in fact killed a good and honorable man.